Come on, put your hands together for Jesus.
Come on.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord.
Oh, if you want to praise the Lord, every give it away.
To our God.
It's to our God.
Oh, sing every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God. Oh, every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise. It's to our God.
Lift your hands and sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
It's to our God.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Oh, it's to our God. Sing every prayer. Every praise. It's to our God. Oh, every word of worship.
God.
Now I want to declare, God my Savior,
God my Savior,
my healer,
God my healer,
my deliverer,
God my deliverer.
Yes, He is.
Tell Him, yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
God
tell
my
him.
Savior,
God my Savior,
He's my healer,
God my healer,
my deliverer.
God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
Yes,
He
is. Every prayer.
Every prayer is to our God.
Oh,
every word of worship with one accord.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
It's to our God.
It's to our God.
Let Him know that all the praise is for Him.
Every prayer. It's to our
God.
Every
word of worship
with one accord.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
To our God.
It's to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing it to Jesus.
Glory,
he deserves
glory,
all the glory.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
To our God.
It's to our God.
Sing, sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To our God.
To our God.
Glory.
Glory. Hallelujah.
It's to our God.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
To our God.
It's to our God.
Every prayer.
One more time.
Every prayer. It's to our God.
Oh,
every word of worship with one accord.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
Every prayer.
To our God.
It's to our God.
All the worship,
every praise, every praise.
God, my Savior,
God, my Savior,
God, my Savior,
is my healer,
God, my healer,
my deliverer,
God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is.
Tell Him, yes,
yes
He is.
Is
He your Savior? Is He your Savior? Tell Him. God,
He's
my Savior.
My
God, my. Is He your healer? Yes,
my
He
deliverer.
Is. God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior.
My healer.
God, my healer.
My deliverer.
God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is.
Hallelujah. All the praise, all the worship, all the glory belongs to
Hallelujah.
God, and He alone forever and ever. He is high and lifted up. He is worthy. He is worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. He is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Father God, we bless Your name and worship You. We pray that You speak Your word to us. Thank You for the nations.
Yes.
Thank You that the nations will be saved for Jesus.
Amen.
And thank You for the many, many churches that are established all throughout the nations. Because we know that Your word is that Your house shall be called house of prayer for all nations, for all people. We bless You. Speak Your word to us. May none of us live the same. Bless, deliver, heal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We may take our seats in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Today is International Sunday.
Amen.
Hallelujah, where we celebrate the different cultures, the different nations, and our church is spread around across many, many different nations. Hallelujah. Amen. We have churches all over the world. Amen.
Amen.
And many of us know about it, and we are going to show some more. We're going to give you some more information. There's a very nice video about the different nations. Hallelujah. A very nice clip. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To just see what God is doing in the nations of the world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because Jesus Christ said, he quoted from Isaiah, that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, for all people. So it means that the church should not be a white church. The church should not be a black church. The church should not be an African church. The church should not be an African-American church. The church should not be an Asian church.
That's
the
right.
Church should be the church of all nations.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's put our hands together for the Lord. So no one should identify this church as an African church or as a black church. No, this is a church with diverse people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have people, we have churches that are full of only, in fact, the majority of the people are white in the church. Hallelujah. We have some churches that the majority of the people are African American. I'm talking about some of the branches of our church, this church. And we have some of the churches that majority are African. So it's all, I mean, people from every nation.
Diverse.
Amen. And even here now, we have people, we have Africans, we have African Americans, we have whites, and very soon we'll have Asians.
Amen.
We'll just have people from every nation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. If the door can be closed, that would be very important to give so that there'll be the noise will not stretch too far out. Praise God. Let's clap for these wonderful children as they step out. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's continue. We're going to hear the word of God. And after that, we should all have a heart for the nations.
Amen.
So we're going to pray for the nations our churches are represented in and some of the nations that are represented in this church. We're going to pray for them. We're going to have representatives to pray for each nation. Hallelujah. Because it's very important. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost from all the nations
Amen.
Of the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, seven great principles are very important. Great. What does great mean? When the title great is conferred to someone, it means the person has done extraordinary things. The person has done great things. Or the person has done things that are more than average. Hallelujah.
Worthy
of note. Notable achievements. Hallelujah. And an example of such a person is Alexander the Great. He is actually called the Great because he did great things that not many people could do. He conquered almost the whole world till he got to India and it ended there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And not because he couldn't fight, but because he died of one of the diseases, whether it's West Nile, malaria, one of these diseases killed him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then we also have Cyrus the Great,
yes,
the Persian, because he conquered a lot of terrain. Hallelujah. So when something is great, it means that the thing is notable. In the same way, we have seven great principles or seven notable principles for life. Hallelujah. These principles will guide us in our daily lives.
Amen.
The first principle is that man, which also includes woman, is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it means that you and I are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. This is not Krista. This is her house. I can use her at will because she's my daughter. This is her house. Hallelujah. But the real Krista lives in this vessel. But many people feel that Krista is this. So many people spend their lives focusing on the outer shell, the house, instead of the real person. Because this part of the person would not live forever. This part of the person remains on earth when we die. It actually decays.
That's right.
Because we are from dust, and we will return to dust if Christ tarries. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So it means that the real Christa is inside. Thank you. The real Christa is inside, and this is her house. And we read from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we live in a tent, that our earthly bodies are actually living in a tent. So the first principle is that you and I must remember, for if we know that if our earthly house, if let's look at it in NLT, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. So if our earthly house, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands.
Amen.
So very important for you to know that there is more to you and I than what it looks, what we see. Amen. You and I, you and I are a spirit, the inner man. And the spirit of man is called the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, or the cryptos man. Meaning that the real you is inside. It's the inward part of the heart. The inward part of the person. Then we have a soul, which is the mind, the will, the intellect. Remember that. Now the second principle, this is just a recap. The second principle is that the spirit of the unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. Now what does it mean to be unsaved? To be unsaved means that you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Some might think this is a bit extreme. This is a bit limiting. But Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Amen. Hallelujah. So no one can see God but only by Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is either he is Lord of your life or he's not Lord of your life at all. He is all or nothing. In mathematics, we have the all or nothing principle. It's all or nothing. Hallelujah. So you and I must realize that if we don't know Jesus Christ, our hearts, the natural heart of a person is wicked. Human beings can do the worst things if the opportunity presents itself.
That's right.
It means that if I was not in Jesus Christ, or you were not in Jesus Christ, at least those who are in Christ, you are not in Jesus Christ, you could do the worst things. You can never imagine what you can do. You can murder. Every one of us can commit murder.
That's right.
If we hate. That's why the Bible says, the one who hates his brother is a murderer. Why? Because those who commit premeditated murder had intent to commit the murder. They premeditated, they planned it, and they executed the plan. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's very important to know that our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are desperately wicked before Christ. When we became Christians, it changed. That's why the Bible says in Ezekiel that God would take our wicked heart of stone, take it away by his spirit, and then put in a heart of flesh, a brand new heart. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, for if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any person is in Jesus Christ, they are a new creation. They are brand new. All things are passed away,
amen,
and behold, all things are new. That's because the person is no more wicked and unsaved, but is righteous. Because if you and I are to be judged by God's commandments, how many will stand? If we are to be judged by the Ten Commandments, we are going down. But God, when he speaks something out of his mouth, it will never return void. Anything God said in the Old Testament, he is going to fulfill it to the letter. Heaven and earth will pass away before one tittle or a dot from the Old Testament and the New Testament will fail. Meaning that the Old and New Testament are bound forever. But Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament laws. So that anyone who has faith in him has fulfilled the law. So God's righteous requirements still hold. God has never thrown his righteous requirements away because of Jesus. Only that those who believe in Jesus Christ just take on his righteous requirements. That's what the Bible says, that we are justified by faith. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that you and I might be called or made the righteousness of God in him. So the righteousness is imputed unto us as a free gift because of Jesus. I am a wicked person. She is a wicked person, hell-bound. Now, we both sin and we cannot survive without sin. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the Old Testament laws so that if I have faith in him, then I have fulfilled the Old Testament law. If she doesn't have faith in him, what is she still needs to fulfill the law. How is she going to fulfill it? Because no one can fulfill the law. I can't, but Jesus fulfilled it for me. That is why Jesus is the only way to heaven. Because no religion, no prophet, no one can be able to satisfy the religious requirements or the requirements of the law of God except Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is the only one who died and rose from the dead. Amen. And lives forever. Who rose physically, no one else but Jesus Christ. I went to Jerusalem. Do you know what I saw? I saw an empty tomb. Glory to God. I saw an empty tomb. Amen. It means Jesus is risen. Amen. Thank you. So if you, those who are not saved, that's why the Bible says that the spirit of the unsaved man, or the Bible infers or makes it clear that the spirit of the unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. Am I preaching to somebody?
Yes.
Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's a question in the Bible. The third principle, the spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Hallelujah. So it means that the spirit of a saved man and a woman is righteous. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like I said, he takes the old sinful nature and puts in a brand new righteous nature. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. Amen. So you, the born-again spirit is righteous and truly holy. Can I have an amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17. You read that? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So it means that you and I, we are not righteous because of what we do. We are righteous because of what he did.
Amen.
So, I'll start using you shortly. So it means that if she hasn't sinned as a Christian, she's righteous and truly holy. If I sin as a Christian and I say, God, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, I'm equally righteous, even though I sinned yesterday and I repented of my sin. Why? Because it's not my righteousness, it's Jesus' righteousness. Thank you. That's why I said that I'm at the highest level of righteousness I could ever be. I cannot be more righteous than I am right now. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so are you, if you are a born-again Christian. Whose righteousness can exceed Jesus' righteousness? Is there any righteousness that is higher than Jesus' righteousness?
No.
Can anyone's righteousness ever get there? So if his righteousness has been given to me and my righteousness is Jesus' righteousness, I'm at the highest peak of righteousness.
Amen.
Because it's Jesus' righteousness.
Amen.
You and I must know that to be victorious in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Those who don't know it walk in defeat.
Mm.
Yes. If you don't know it, the devil will tell you, you are not righteous. You are not fit to be in church. You are not righteous. What are you doing praying? It's a waste of time.
Let me show you an example. Let's turn to James. James chapter 5, verse 16.
Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look at it in Amplified. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that ye may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued, earnest, heartfelt, oh God, I pray, verses. Oh God, I'm praying. Oh yes, okay, yes, okay. I have to go to the job. Okay, but sad. Oh. It's not heartfelt. That's not fervent. That's not earnest. Oh God, I pray. Jesus, come back. That's earnest. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Glory to God. Dynamic in its working. Yes. But it is for the righteous person. So if you feel that you are not righteous, then your prayer, you will not believe that it makes tremendous power available. That's why you and I must know our stance in the Lord, that we are righteous. What does righteousness mean? It means right standing with God. Nevertheless, a righteous person lives a righteous life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
A righteous person lives a righteous life. Should I repeat that again?
Yes.
A righteous person lives a righteous life. So you and I are to walk in what we are. If I'm a teacher, I teach.
Yes.
If I'm a mother, I look after a child.
Yeah.
Let's make it simple. If I'm a teacher, I teach. If I'm a doctor, I look after patients, or at least I do some research.
Yeah.
In the same way, if I'm a righteous person, I behave righteous. But my behavior in righteousness does not make me righteous. But it is my faith in Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I live a righteous life.
Amen.
What do you think?
That's right.
So you and I must purpose in our hearts to live righteous lives. If you slip here and there, it doesn't mean you are not righteous. Just make sure you purpose in your heart to live righteous and do your best to live righteous. What do you think?
Amen.
Let's do our best to live righteous. What do you think?
Yes.
Someone will say, I tried my best, it didn't work, so I'm finished. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, this is writing to little children. Apostle John saying, my little children, is writing to the church. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. King James, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father,
yes.
Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm writing these things to you so that you do not sin. But if you fall into unintentional sin, you fall into sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
Who would bring you back into right standing with God.
Amen.
Knowing that your intention is not to continue.
Amen.
Number 4, after you are born again, your spirit is a newborn baby and it must grow.
Hallelujah.
Many Christians don't realize that. You see, there are a lot of Christians who are malnourished. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland around 2001, 2002, a while back. And he was preaching about, he went to Oral Roberts University. That was a great man of God. When he went there, he said God opened his eyes and there was a conference or there was a meeting and he saw Oral Roberts and saw many pastors, many Christians. Now, God opened his eyes and he saw into the people's spirits. He saw a giant, strong person, Oral Roberts. His spirit was strong and he saw weak, sickly spirits that looked like they were about to die walking around. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that he may grow thereby. So some people have been Christians for 10 years, 15 years, and they are malnourished children.
Yeah.
Why? Because they don't have the word. What causes us to grow as Christians? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Look at it in NLT. So people don't realize that we are children, babies, because remember that we are born again into the kingdom of God. And being born again into the kingdom of God means you've just started as a baby.
Yes.
Because you are now reborn. You are born into the kingdom of the world, but the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you have to be born of the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit taking the bad heart and then putting a new heart, the Holy Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ. And then we are born anew. So if you are born as a baby and you don't eat, you must crave pure spiritual milk so you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a baby cries for milk.
Amen.
And another version. Let's throw in another version. Am I preaching to somebody? Very important. Let's, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Thank you. Now, King James, as newborn babies, the sincere milk of. So the Bible actually explains what the milk is of the word. Desire the sincere milk of the word. So you and I, our only food as Christians is the Bible. Prayer doesn't make you grow spiritually. It never will and never has. Prayer does not make you grow spiritually, but it edifies you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at 1 and 2, and we'll go to Jude 1:20. Hallelujah to Jesus. So many people feel that prayer is what is going to make you grow. That's why you have many Christians who pray a lot, but they don't have the word and There's a difference between those Christians and those who pray a lot and have the word. It's easier to pray than to read your Bible, at least for me. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What verse? Yes, it's not this one. Continue. Oh, yeah. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 14. Did I say 4? Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. That's why. Because it's about spiritual gifts. I'm talking about tongues. About how prayer edifies. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that he may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. But howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Look at NLT for this edifieth. Tongues is a whole different topic when we're talking about prayer. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally in the Lord. There's a difference between strengthened and growing. You can be strengthened. A baby can be strengthened. A 5-year-old or a 12-year-old can be strengthened hard, but it doesn't mean they've grown. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally in the Lord. Now look at Jude 1:20. You can keep it in NLT and then go to King James. Jude 1:20. But you, dear friends, must continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith and continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. King James makes it a bit clear. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. So prayer charges you up.
Yes.
It's like a catalyst. It strengthens you. It builds you up. But the word of God is what makes the Christian grow, become mature, become strong. When you are a child, when you are 10 years old, many things can defeat you. A 4-year-old can be killed by a dog by accident. But a 20-year-old can never be killed by a dog by accident. Hallelujah. I'm talking about maybe a puppy. A puppy can kill a 4-year-old or a small dog.
But try even my daughter. A puppy cannot kill her by the grace of God. How many are getting what I'm saying? Now, why is that? It's because when you are a child, many things can affect you. Many sicknesses can get to you. But when you are mature and your immunity is fully built up, yes, things can't just kill you. So in the same way, as a Christian, when you are a baby Christian, it can affect you. Many things can affect you. When you become a mature Christian, it's very difficult to be derailed. It's very difficult to be just bullied around. The devil is looking for weaklings to bully. 1 Peter 5, let's start from 5. Am I preaching to somebody? Yes. You and I need to be strong. You and I need to grow. I said you and I need to grow. Amen. And it's only the word of God that makes us grow. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now go back to verse 8 and use NLT, and let's see how it is. It's always good to just not just King James is the base. NASB are very good Bibles, and then some of the other Bibles just make it easier to understand. Be careful, watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. Now tell me, is it easy to kill, get a victim who is a baby or a victim who is mature? Baby. When you're looking at the wildlife, and you see the big buffaloes or the big animals, don't the lions go for the babies? Yes. And the Bible has just said that the devil is looking for a victim. So you and I must grow. Amen. You and I must grow. You and I must become mature. And that comes only from the word of God. Amen. Only by the word. As new, after you are born again, your spirit is a new baby and it must grow. It must grow. Yeah. Ephesians 4:14. It must grow. How many want your spirits to grow?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. That we henceforth be no more children. So it means that even the Bible talks about children. But he was not writing to children because they couldn't even read these letters. He was writing to adults. But he called them children. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. NLT. Then, so you can see the difference. We must always read the verses in light of the King James or NASB, so that you can get the clean picture, because the King James and NASB, they are just word-for-word translations. Hallelujah. So you can get, but I like also looking at some of these versions because they just give you a clean, nice, easy-to-understand picture.
That's right.
Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. That's what's happening in many churches today. Don't shut me down now, preaching good here. That's what's happening in many churches today. Everything, you sometimes hardly hear the name Jesus. If I'm listening to there are many people on Christian television that I used to watch, and I was waiting. I didn't hear Jesus this time. I heard about Holy Spirit. Second time, I didn't hear Jesus. I heard about Holy Spirit. Third time, off. Cut you off. Because the Holy Spirit is to testify of Jesus. Jesus is the center of it all. Everything. 100% Jesus. Jesus today, Jesus tomorrow, Jesus forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus is not heard a number of times, I don't want to know anything about it. Because who are you talking about? Who? When are they say he, Father, God, who are they talking about? But when you say Jesus, we know exactly who you are talking about. We know we are talking about God, the creator of the universe, and his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. But there are too many things going on. Who is it? Which spirit? If it's the Holy Spirit of God, he will testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will draw us to be seeing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So many now, the churches, a lot of churches, money, how to make money. You remember Ephesians 4:14? Look at Matthew 6:33. Am I preaching to somebody today?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, or 33. Or 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are talking about Proton on Wednesday. But seek ye Proton first rank, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now let's find out what all these things are. Let's start from 30 to 33. But the churches have turned it around. Seek first these things before the kingdom. Most churches or most Christians, if you have a seminar, bless me seminar, you have another seminar, love Jesus seminar. The love Jesus seminar will be very few people, but the bless me seminar will be packed, overflow capacity, overflow will be packed also. Many Christians don't love the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, they would have found out how to love God more. That will be packed. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things we are looking for will be added unto you.
Yes.
So the duty of the church is to cause us to seek God's kingdom first. Oh, we also preach on frugality and preach on success.
Yes.
The success of David, Abrahamic success.
Yes.
But Proton is first. So now let's go back to our verse in Ephesians. Thank you. What do you think?
It's a good word.
Yeah. So a child, there's a new wave. There's a new revelation. I don't just, Christian television, they say new revelation. So what? I read the Bible, make sure it's confirmed with the Bible. People say that Jesus said very little about hell, but talked a lot about money. But Jesus said a lot about hell. The focus of Jesus was serving him, not I'll make you rich, even though God will make us rich. The Bible says he was rich, but he became poor so that through his poverty we will be rich. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But how many people can admit that today in the church is all about how to make money? The thing that God says is the root of all evil. Of course, the Bible says money answereth all things. God will give money, but the love of money is what will rob us of victory. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe. What do we believe? There are some people who believe that there was heaven and hell. Now, some people feel that a loving God cannot send people to hell, so therefore there is no hell. That's a lie of the devil, with sulfur coming up with it from the pit of hell. It's a lie of the devil. There is a hell. Why is there a hell? If you go on my Facebook, I've talked about why there's a need for hell. Why would a loving God send people to hell? Because he's just. God, the Bible says in Matthew 25, that God prepared hell not for human beings, but for the devil and his angels. I mean, look at all the bad things the devil did, caused Hitler to do all those things, Stalin to kill all these people. I mean, do you think that they should go free?
No.
Do you think the demons should go free?
No.
They should go to heaven? No, so there is an eternal punishment for the devils and his angels, because that is what God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Okay, remember where we are now, Matthew 22, is it 34, 35? No, Matthew 25, 34. Let's look at Matthew 25, 34. Use King James so that I can identify where we are. I'll just show you that verse and we'll continue. Good. Matthew, good. Now, 35. Very good. This is exactly where we are. For I was hungry and you gave me blah, blah, blah. Okay, verse 36. Naked, 37. So read this whole verse. It's a very, very good verse. Then the righteous shall answer, verse 38. 39. So this is what Jesus said to the righteous. Now he's going to address the damned. Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cast into everlasting fire, prepared for human beings? No, for the devil and his angels. So God is a just God. If God will punish a part of his creation, that the angels who were deceived by the devil, the Bible says in Revelation that the dragon, the great dragon, Satan, deceived a third of the angels and they fell with him. Hallelujah. So he was able to deceive them and they will be going to everlasting fire. So human beings who also follow the devil and don't follow God, what should be done to them? God should spare them. Then how can God be just if he spares human beings? Then he should also spare the angels. Yeah. If a part of his creation is going to the lake of fire because of what they did in the sin and all the mess they've caused on the earth, and human beings also follow the devil and kill all these people who committed murder and were terrible and they died free, they should go free. God also has that place, but it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But the Bible says that hell has enlarged herself, opened up her mouth and enlarged herself to meet thee at thy coming. What this verse means is that the hell was only for a particular group, the devil and his angels. But because sin abounded on the earth, hell had to enlarge itself and open up its mouth above what it was created to do. That's why hell exists. So some people, because they are children, they'll say there's no hell. How can a loving God send people to hell? Because we've not read that hell was not prepared for people. But that comes, you see, and unfortunately, whether we like it or not, when we die, we'll see that there's heaven, hell.
That's true.
So it's not because I'm saying it, it's because the Bible, the everlasting book, said it. This book was here before we were born, all of us, and it will be here when we die.
Amen.
So it has the words of eternal life. Whether you agree with me or not, when we die, we'll know the truth.
That's it.
Amen.
Someone has cleverly lied. Do you know that there are many lies? Some people... But I heard Ben Hinn talk about it. when they want to take offerings, there are some pastors. Of course, if you are led by the Holy Ghost and it's the Holy Ghost, praise God. I've been led to do some of these things, very rare, because I'm afraid. But there are some people who say, "Give $1,000 and your debt will be free. You'll be out of debt." Give $1,000 and this will happen. Those who want breakthrough, come forward. Give $1,000, $1,000 for 1,000 days blessing. And many people believe it. Instead of giving because you love God, or giving for evangelism, giving for healing Jesus campaign, giving for orphanage, we'll give because we are expecting a 1,000-fold blessing. Versus... give because you love God and God will bless you.
Amen.
What I say is, if you want to give $1,000, give it, but we will pray together for God to give you a 1,000-fold blessing. There's no promise here. We'll pray together.
That's it.
Versus you will get, there's a difference between you will get and we'll pray so that peradventure God will give you. And God has given. I remember someone was, I was raising funds for our local crusade. And I said that, look, anyone who wants to give $1,000, give it and will believe God that you get a promotion, you get a double in salary increase, something. And it happened practically, and the person gave a testimony. But I didn't tell them that that's here the Lord. Aren't you afraid? But many people lie. But a Christian who is mature will not be fooled. There's a pastor who said, who?
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. There's a pastor, just a bit more volume. There's a pastor who pointed at someone, stand up, kebaba shop. But you know how they do it. Stand up. Are you possessed? But anyway.
God says that I see something bad, this, that, God forbid. I see this coming to you, blah, but sow a seed right now, $1,000. Now, $1,000 and to be free. God's gift is not for sale. God's blessing is not for sale. Now. And then say you don't have money.
Oh, I don't have money.
Borrow it now. Get a check. And look, the person, there are a number of them. This particular I'm talking about, the person wrote her check. A check for $1,000 for the pastor. When she went home, the husband said, what? He went to try to cancel the check. The man of God cashed the check long time. Hallelujah. If you can increase the volume just a bit. Hallelujah. Now, such a thing, people are being lied to. People are being lied to and saying that there's a preacher who said that you can. You see, I don't do certain things because the Bible says you can't do it. But there are some pastors who say that. Oh, I know some pastor who said that. Look, I was watching him. I couldn't believe it. He said that God's grace is sufficient. So you can do anything you want. Once you're a Christian, you go to heaven. And then the person who was hosting the program said, so what if a man goes and takes another man's wife and he's with her in the hotel, sleeping with her, and takes her away from the man, and he's continuing in sin? What will happen? You'll go to glory, go to heaven. I was like, so these are some of the problems. But he gave scriptures. Hallelujah. Such a thing. Come on. you can't do that. We have to be, you see, there are some theories. We had Pastor Long, didn't we have a half night here and we're having debates? And one of the debates was about this. And you see how people were proving their case. Hallelujah. Once saved, forever saved. How many believe that in once saved, forever saved? Oh, I believe that I'm saved and I'll forever go to heaven. I'll go to heaven. But if I'm truly saved, I'll do what is right. Don't shut me down. I'm preaching good here. Do you agree? You don't agree that if I'm saved, once I continue in Christ, that's what I'm saying, that I am saved. I know I'm going to heaven because I'm saved and I'm walking in the light of the word. But if you are saved and you divert, then you're at risk. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I didn't explain the question well. Let me start the question again. How many believe that once you are saved, you are going to heaven? Yes, once you are saved. How many believe that once saved, forever saved, therefore I can derail and I can go into sin, live properly in sin, and I would go to heaven? There you go. But many people believe that because of the lies of the devil. A man of God was giving a story about a lady, a pastor's wife, who sang beautifully. She sang in the church. She performed and she was beautiful. He said she's stunning, you know, there's striking beauty. How many have seen someone?
Oh, it's not happened to you before. You see someone? Because, Pastor Ellen, it's not happened to you before. Antoinette is not here, so you can freely speak. Hallelujah. So the man said, it's strikingly beautiful. There's a difference between seeing someone beautiful and lasting. If I see something beautiful, yeah, oh, this is a beautiful person, but I'm not going to go, whoa. No, that's where you are wrong. Now, he said that as she's dressing up, a thought will come to her mind. Oh, you are so beautiful. You should be singing out there. Why are you wasting your talent in the church? Then she'll say, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. It'll go. Then the thought will come again. Oh, you are so beautiful. Why are you wasting your talent in the church? You should be singing out there. Then she'll say, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. The devil will keep coming. Until one day, she began to see herself in the mirror and said, wow, I am beautiful. Yes, I see other people making it. I should be able to also sing out there. I don't need to be singing in the church. Then Kenneth Hagin said, I've mentioned the guy's name. God opened his eyes and he saw in a vision a black spot that moved to her brain, her mind, which is a suggestion from the devil. Yes, it's true you are beautiful. It's true you can sing out there and maybe make more money, but you are missing God's plan. Then she kept on entertaining it until she left the church, started going to nightclubs, started singing in bars, started sleeping around, look, pastor's wife. And then it was still in her mind. And then one day, the assistant pastor, the pastor said, I still love my wife. Called the assistant pastor to the hotel where she was wearing a robe. Knocked on the door, she opened the door, the robe with her breast all out, didn't bother, okay. And it was like, what is it you want? What do you want? There was a man in the room. And the guy said, you know what? Come back to the church. God still loves you. Come back. She said, to hell with this. She mentioned to hell with our Lord. I don't care about this thing. She slammed the door on him. And then the vision, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that, look, this woman, even though she was in sin, she was still my child. Sin does not mean you are no more a child of God. It means you are out of fellowship with God. But she was still my child. All she needed to do was to repent and come back. I would have taken her any day, which is very true. That one I believe 100.0% true. That's Samson, even in the Old Testament, Samson, that happened with Samson. How much more in Christ's dispensation? She was still my child. All she needed to do was to come back. But she willfully and intentionally rejected me from her heart and said, to hell with this. That was the end of her. But there are so many lies in Christianity.
What's that?
So many lies. But a Christian who is mature, has the word of God, will be able to decipher between wrong and right. Will be able to determine that, look, this is not scripture. This is outside the scripture. I'm going to follow this. No, this is not correct. But it comes by studying the word. It comes by being mature in Christ. It comes by not being tossed to and fro. That comes by the word of God. You and I must eat the word. You and I must soak in the word. You and I must be rich in the word. Be rich in God's word. Don't just hear the preaching of the word and say, I'm full. No, hear the preaching of the word, but our duty as Christians is to read the word daily. The Bible says what? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp is for each step. You can't run with a lamp. It's for each step. So every step of the way, the word of God is supposed to direct us. Pastors are only supposed to help us and guide us, but it's the Bible that directs us. It's the Bible that will make us grow. You and I cannot just grow by just hearing the word once a week and going home. Never. We grow by the word of God. So as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And God will bless you. The one who hears the words and practices the word is blessed in their deed. I'm not out of word. I'm just out of time. We'll continue, God willing, next week. Shall we stand to our feet?
Amen.
And let's speak to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Let's speak to Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord. Help us.
Oh,
in the
yes.
name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
thank
yes.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word.
Let's speak to Jesus.
We will not be hearers only, but doers of your word. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Lord Jesus, just speak to him. Speak to him. Speak to the Lord. I give myself away. Just speak to Jesus. Ask him to touch your heart. Yes, make you holy. Yes, to be holy means to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be unique, to be different, to be for Jesus. Lord, make me holy. I want to be holy, holy like you. Make me holy, Jesus. I want to be holy. Yes. Speak to God from your heart. Lord, make me holy. I want to be holy, holy like you, Jesus. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, Lord, help us.
I want to be holy.
Jesus, want to be more like you.
I want to be more like
Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord. Purpose in our hearts. To get the word in, to be doers of the word of God and not hearers only. To be doers of the word of God. Doers of the word.
Oh yes.
Oh yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Just speak to him. Oh, I give myself away. Just continue to speak to God. Just a quick
give
song.
Give myself away.
Yes. Just speak to Jesus.
I give myself away.
I want you to pray this prayer
so you
with all your heart.
I give myself away.
Yes.
Give it away.
Yes.
Oh. I give myself.
It's not my own. To you I belong.
I give myself to you.
My life is not my own.
My life is not my own. To you I belong.
Tell it from your heart. I give myself away. Myself away.
I get myself away.
Heart.
To you I belong. I give my
give myself away.
We are praying. If you are here this afternoon and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are not born again, if you are not saved and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to dedicate my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be washed with the blood of Jesus. I want to give Jesus Christ a chance. I want him to look after me. I want a fresh start. If you are here like this, raise your hands and I'll pray with you. If you want to say, Jesus, I want Jesus. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Just lift your hands high up and I'll just share a quick word of prayer with you. As we sing, I surrender. Just a quickly. Is there anyone? Anybody?
To Jesus I surrender all to him. I freely I will ever love and trust him.
Is there anyone who wants to say, Pastor, pray with me? Just raise your hands if you want Jesus. Shall we all, is there anyone before I pray? Let's all repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe that he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you've prayed this prayer for the first time, please come and see me or Pastor Elam after church. We may take our seats. Hallelujah.